obvious is I grew up black in America. I grew up in Iowa.
Forget your name. Just close your eyes. Just close your eyes.
Good day to you. Welcome to Close Your Eyes on killradio.org. My name is Mark, your DJ, your host, your spiritual practitioner, if you know what that is. Close Your Eyes is about life, the examined life. So the opportunity for us, I need to adjust myself here. I'm coming on really yummy. How's that? Oh, good. Much better. Thank you. This show is really about exploring the examined life, examining our own lives in various ways. In this way, really looking at the spirit of the self. And the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about relationships. And ultimately, everything is a relationship. We have a relationship to people, to places, to things, to ideas, to philosophies. Ultimately, relationships is simply a construct to give our expression form, to give our love form. So it's simply a vehicle. And I've been sharing from a book called Conversations with God. Chapter 8 is very well known, if you're familiar with the book, as the relationships chapter. And it is so simple in what it's saying and yet so profound. And one of the main points it seems to make, well, there's so many, really. It's such a rich chapter, and yet it's served up so easily and accessibly. But ultimately, in all human relationships, there becomes one question, and that is, what would love do now? What would love do now? In the face of each moment, a challenge, an opportunity, a conflict, a friend, what would the love that each of us expresses do for the moment? And it's surprising because in the face of a challenge, an opportunity, a conflict, or a friend, it's not always that we're giving love to the moment. What we've been conditioned to give is fear or anger or judgment, hurt, complaints. Oddly, in our culture right now, that is normal and natural. And so to give love to the moment in the face of the situation, One would have to forget that small sense of self, the false sense of self, the ego self, and surrender to the higher self, the self beyond this personality, the labels that we define ourselves as. And so it is an opportunity for us, when we ask, what would love do now, it is not an opportunity to only heal a situation or make something better, but it's an opportunity for the truth of our being to come forth, rather than the limited understanding of ourselves that we all have, that we all express from. It would allow us to rise up above that. So that is the opportunity of what love would do in each moment. It is beyond just giving someone a hug or a kiss or a pat on the back. That is not the love we're talking about. We're talking about the love from the depth of our being, from our expression. And in each moment, whether it be a challenge, an opportunity, a conflict, or a friend, it may express in different ways. It may be being silent is the most beautiful, loving thing to do in the face of the moment. It may be just one word. When we surrender to the higher self, we are also guided and directed to what is perfect in that moment. So you listen to Close Your Eyes on killradio.org. Right, bye. Welcome back to Close Your Eyes on KillRadio.org. I was just talking to John from Is Good and also the show we both do together, Here. That show is, well, let me just tell real quick, plug for Is Good. It's Thursdays, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., albeit, I think he just told me he's having knee surgery, so he won't be doing this next Thursday. So don't get too excited. Get excited for the following Thursday. Get excited in the moment of having to long for the show. That always makes it better. And then also, the show we do together is Mondays. It's called Here. It's Mondays from 12 to 2, and that show is submissions-only show. It's not a submissive show. That would be actually a great way to put. We should probably use that. It's a submissive show. But actually, it's a show where bands submit their music, and it has really taken off. We have met all these great bands, and overall, the music is, like, really, really, really good. So very exciting. So that's here on Mondays, 12 to 2 Pacific time. And then on Thursdays, John does his show, Is Good, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Is that like 3 hours? Is he crazy? He does a three-hour show? My goodness. He's a hard worker, and he's getting knee surgery. So let's just know that his surgery, that his healing, that his renewal on the physical level is easy and effortless. And it's a simple process, and there's no resistance or hesitation. Let's just know that, okay? So we just heard from their new album, Intercept, one of my favorite bands right now, period, really, Bent, a song called Waiting For You. If you've listened to the show before, it was about a year ago at this time that I was playing their last album, and every single song on the album was so appropriate for this show. So I played the whole album one song at a time. So it took about three months, more than that really, to get through it all. And then they came out with a little bit of a remix album, and I played that. And so I'm really happy they have a new album now. This song, Waiting For You, builds really nicely. It's very rocking, and then all of a sudden it just goes off. And my jaw dropped that one part. It's like 3 minutes, 12 seconds in, and then it goes, whoa, what the heavens? Before that, we heard a DJ by the name of Guido Schneider. I guess it's a song by Jens Bond. It's the Jeff Samuel remix of Oh My Buffer. Very cool minimal house DJ that I like. And you are listening to Close Your Eyes on KillRadio.org. Now, what's interesting is this is a music show. We do play music, but it's really about the spirit. It is about the self. Beyond what we think of ourselves. See, we come into this world, and before we learn language, it seems, we're really in this space of our authentic self. When we feel happy, we're happy. When we feel sad, we belt it out. When we are tired, we sleep. And there is no resistance, there's no hesitation. Not like now. When we're tired now and we're at work, we don't just go, oh, I'm going to take a nap. And everyone's like, oh, okay, cool. No, we can't do that. That is somehow wrong. It's funny, I was going to the dry cleaners today, and I was walking down. This woman was crossing the street with her daughter, and the daughter was crying. The daughter must have been like 3 or 4 years old and just sobbing. I thought, God, that's so interesting because she's sad, she's crying. It's good. Because normally, if she was an adult, she wouldn't be crying that way. She'd be holding back, and then I just don't think that's good for our bodies to hold back that way, to cut back on our authentic self. So we're beginning today's show talking about relationships with what would love do now? Such a simple question, and it's in a sense so easy to overlook kind of the opportunity that the question brings. What would love do now? And where we can awaken to the deeper meaning or the deeper opportunity or the deeper, fuller expression is that we aren't oftentimes bringing love to each moment. We're bringing fear, like I said in the introduction. We're bringing fear, anger, judgment, hurt, complaints. We're bringing negativity and resistance to the moment. And so we are, again, being inauthentic. There's a level of dishonesty that we're expressing, because we're not being our truth. And again, in our culture, we really don't like a lot of truth because it's too heavy, or there's too much responsibility with it. If I was to truly tell someone something, then I would not mince words, but I would also not use words to be hurtful or harmful. I would express from love, even if it was in the face of a conflict, I would express from love what my experience was. So what's interesting is within that, there is responsibility. And there is still love for the other, even if they've supposedly wronged us. So what would love do now? And in Conversations with God, it says, no other question is relevant. No other question is meaningful. No other question has any importance to your soul. We come upon a very delicate point of interpretation, for this principle of love-sponsored action has been widely misunderstood. And it is this misunderstanding which has led to the resentments and angers of life, which in turn have caused so many to stray from the path. For centuries, you have been taught that love-sponsored action arises out of the choice to be, do, and have whatever produces the highest good for another. This is something that is talked about earlier in the chapter about we've been conditioned to do for others, to care more for the other, to love more the other than the self. And in this chapter, it's really talking about the self, to love the self. So let me read that again. For centuries, you have been taught that love-sponsored action arises out of the choice to be, do, and have whatever produces the highest good for another. So we do things for the good of the other, for the highest good of the other, regardless of what we feel about it. Yet, I tell you this, the highest choice is that which produces the highest good for you. As with all profound spiritual truth, this statement opens itself to immediate misinterpretation. The mystery clears a bit the moment one decides what is the highest good one can do for oneself. And when the absolute highest choice is made, the mystery dissolves, the circle completes itself, and the highest good for you becomes the highest good for another. So again, it's a practice. And I am not sharing this with you as if I'm an expert in this. In fact, I'm probably not. I would say probably, I might be being hard on myself, but I'd say, maybe 10% of the time. I had to sneeze off mic. Maybe 10% of the time, I might be going, what would love do now? That's a good, what's going on here? And chances are, most of the time, I'm going, I wonder what anger would do now. I wonder what me disempowering this jerk would do now. Or I wonder what telling this person what a piece of crap they are would do now. And in fact, that is what most of us do. That's what we've been conditioned to do. And in fact, our culture kind of promotes that or supports that, especially when you look at talk radio or television. A lot of that kind of behavior is considered great. Like, you told him. I mean, look at all the people on Fox News. That's just an obvious example. I mean, just telling someone to shut up, boy, that's creating a greater world of equality and understanding. So what would love do now comes from an opportunity for each of us to express from our authentic self. And as we practice this, it's going to feel uncomfortable because we will feel vulnerable. We will feel like we're being childish or immature at times or silly or whatever. Or in fact, just vulnerable that we're being so open with our heart and then they can just take an arrow and shoot us. At least that's what my ego's saying right now. My false sense of self, my limited perception of myself is saying that right now. And that's great because there's where the line is. And now I see where the edge of the universe is, my own universe, my own world, and I get to push on it. And it's going to feel crappy sometimes. And if anything I've learned in being in this kind of spiritual practice is when I start feeling uncomfortable, when I start feeling like I'm banging my head against the wall, that actually means I'm up against the challenge. And generally, it's going to break through. So we get to kind of embrace those feelings of discomfort, of emotional discomfort. Because what we're doing is we're stepping out of what we say vernacularly, our comfort zone, what we're used to, that place of where we're used to expressing ourselves, even if it's a limited place, even if it's a place where there's suffering, it's still comfortable because it's familiar. So we're stepping into unfamiliar emotional territory as we broaden our understanding of ourself and express more of who we are from a truer place. Now, what happens is even in that moment, many magical things come about because we have oftentimes, if we're speaking from that place, it is very disarming. There's nothing to combat with in that moment if it's a conflict or a challenge. If we bring love from our authentic self, that authentic expression of love to that moment, then we bring our authentic self and it is a moment where there is no disconnection. So ultimately, what that allows us to do is to create a better life, is to create more, is to bring into the moment a deeper truth. So that's what we're about today. That's what we're about in this moment. So it's more important than what would love do now for the moment. It is what would love do now for the self. And we'll talk about this more when we come back. KillRadar.org. That was Massive Attack. That's a live version of the song Spyglass. I can't remember where that was recorded because I had that information. I don't have it in front of me. I apologize. Before that, we heard the 12-inch single version of Sufferer's Choice by Augustus Pablo. And you're listening to Close Your Eyes on KillRadar.org. Welcome. So, it's interesting. Maybe it's because I've read this chapter that we're discussing so many times. But right before we went to music, you know, this whole concept of what would love do now has less importance to what would love do now for the moment. Its importance really has to do with what would love do now for the self. So in that is the healing, is the renewal, is the liberation. Versus the ways we keep ourselves stuck by doing things the same old resistant way. So when we start practicing, even just for a moment, just a simple little baby step of whatever love would do perfectly in the moment, in the face of a challenge, in the face of an opportunity, a conflict, or a friend, or whatever, we bring to ourselves an opportunity to renew, to not do things as we always have, and so we have the life we've always had. It is an opportunity to bring a new, fuller understanding and expression of ourself to the moment, to that perfect time and place. So when we, in that moment, make the absolute highest choice, the circle completes itself, and the highest good for you becomes the highest good for another. See, it automatically falls into place when we make that choice coming from our authentic expression of love. Then, of course, it is not only good for us, it's good for the other. And in Conversations with God, it says, it may take lifetimes to understand this and even more lifetimes to implement. For this truth revolves around an even greater one. What you do for yourself, you do for another. What you do for another, you do for the self. This is because you and the other are one. And this is because there is not but you. All the masters who have walked your planet have taught this. And he quotes, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Yet this has remained for most people merely a grand esoteric truth with little practical application. In fact, it is the most practical, applicable, esoteric truth of all time. It is important in relationships to remember this truth, for without it, relationships will be very difficult. So let's go back to the practical applications of this wisdom and step away from the purely spiritual, esoteric aspect of it for now. So often, under the old understandings, people, well-meaning and well-intentioned, and many very religious, did what they thought would be best for the other person in the relationship. Sadly, all this produced in many cases was continued abuse by the other, continued mistreatment, continued dysfunction in the relationship. Ultimately, the person trying to do what is right by the other, to be quick to forgive, to show compassion, to continue to look past certain problems and behaviors, becomes resentful, angry, and mistrusting, even of God. For how can a just God demand such unending suffering, joylessness, and sacrifice, even in the name of love? The answer is God does not. God only asks that you include yourself among those you love. God goes further. God suggests, recommends that you put yourself first. Oddly, that is what some may call revolutionary or blasphemy, that God is suggesting or recommending that each of us puts ourselves first. But again, this is in the context of being good to the self. of knowing that being true and authentic to the self equals and responsible to the self and first loving the self will cause that all to come forth and express itself outward to everyone else. Again, how can we do it the other way, which is really putting the cart before the horse? How can we love another better than ourselves? If we don't love ourselves first, we're going to do a half-assed job of loving anyone else. If we don't truly express our authentic self in so that the other person is happy, then we're being inauthentic and dishonest in the moment. So again, in conversations with God, God is saying, God suggests, recommends that you put yourself first. I do this knowing full well that some of you will call this blasphemy and therefore not my word, and that others of you will do what might even be worse, accept it as my word and misinterpret or distort it to suit your own purposes to justify ungodly acts. I tell you this, putting yourself first in the highest sense never leads to an ungodly act. If therefore you have caught yourself in an ungodly act as a result of doing what is best for you, the confusion is not in having put yourself first, but rather in misunderstanding what is best for you. So I don't want to keep getting on it because it gets into this philosophical bent. But ultimately, what all of this is referring to is, again, being good to the self, being great with the self. And that is not something that we're used to. That is not something that we are really comfortable with, only because it is not something we normally do. So what is the opportunity? The opportunity then is to come to know ourselves. And that may mean doing a list of all the things from the most minute to the grandest that really makes us not only unique, but what is truly good about ourselves? That unique expression of the self. What is that? Each of us has unique talents. Each of us has unique abilities, unique expressions. And as we come to understand this, embrace it, and really own it. It's really about owning it and not shying away from it so that it's not something like conceit, or snobbery, or somehow being better than anyone else. All that stuff is from a place of poverty thinking, impoverished thinking when we go to that place. There's no competition. There is no inequality. This is simply the opportunity for each of us to embrace that which we are, that which we have always been, that which we don't normally give ourselves credit. So again, the opportunity perhaps is to begin by asking, who am I? What is the unique things about me that make me good, that make me unique, that make me special? And as we know that it is in relationship to everyone also being unique, special, good. So again, it is not about one being more than the other. That is how we come to know ourselves, embrace ourselves, and to ultimately take ownership of who we are. It also is an opportunity for us to give ourselves credit where perhaps we've not. Perhaps we're used to not crediting ourselves. Perhaps we're used to being criticized rather than credited, or rather than criticized rather than empowered. So as we go to music, I invite you to really think about, beyond what you might not like about yourself, to ignore that. We think about that stuff too much. But to really look at what is it that really deserves to be celebrated? What is it that really deserves to be taken credit for? To embrace. And actually, when we do that, then we can do that for others. We can see others' unique expression of greatness. So you can see, whenever we embrace the self, it gives us the opportunity to more greatly embrace the other. Forgot how short that song was. That was Ryuichi Sakamoto with a song called Tokyo Story. It's a very short story. It's about a minute 17. And then before that, we heard Uncle with What Are You to Me? And so looking at this really, this simple yet profound question, we've spoken most of the show about this, of what love would do now. is when we left, we were really looking at putting ourselves first in the highest sense of that meaning, and that doing so would never lead to one doing something over someone else. And part of determining that is we have to ask, well, what is my intention in this moment? What is it that I am up to? What is my purpose in this moment, at this time in my life? So he gives an example. As a practical matter, again, leaving esoterics aside, if you look to what is best for you in these situations where you are being abused, at the very least, what you will do is stop the abuse. And that will be good for both you and your abuser. For even an abuser is abused when his abuse is allowed to continue. This is not healing to the abuser, but damaging. For if the abuser finds that his abuse is acceptable, what has he learned? Yet if the abuser finds that his abuse will be accepted no more, what has he been allowed to discover? Therefore, treating others with love does not necessarily mean allowing others to do as they wish. Parents learn this early with children. Adults are not so quick to learn it with other adults, nor nation with nation. Yet despots cannot be allowed to flourish, but must be stopped in their despotism. Love of self and love of the despot demands it. This is the answer to your question. If love is all there is, how can humankind ever justify war? Sometimes man must go to war to make the grandest statement about who man truly is, he who abhors war. There are times when you may have to give up who you are in order to be who you are. There are masters who have taught you cannot have it all until you're willing to give it all up. So this is, again, this is getting into an area where you can easily misconstrue or misinterpret meaning, especially in this day when we feel like we've been justified to do what we've been doing in other countries in terms of war. And so we have to ask, what is our true intention? Is it for the highest good? I'm not going to get into politics, but I think it's pretty obvious based on results that our intentions as of late in terms of this nation and what it has been doing with regard to going to war against other nations has not been for the highest good. It has been for only the select few. It has been for the good of the few and not for everyone. And you can see how that ultimately becomes a spiritual or psychological litmus test. The highest good must always be present. It doesn't mean it's going to be a smooth transition. I mean, the highest good for anyone sometimes doesn't mean that it's going to be comfortable. It means change may take place. It means it means that it may be a difficult experience, but ultimately it is for the highest good. That is where you see our relationships with the self and with each other expand outward on bigger levels. So one nation ultimately is a collective of individuals, while another nation is as well. And so then these nations operate based on how they understand to interact with one another. And you can see how we have a world who doesn't know how to relate to oneself, then we relate to each other in a really messed up way. So that is our opportunity in this moment. Our opportunity is to allow the truth of our being to come forth. It is to allow us to look at what is the self and to embrace the self and what is for the highest good for each of us. So when we put ourselves first from that place, when we ask that question honestly or we answer that question openly, then the highest good ultimately reveals itself regardless. So that is what is for you and for me to begin to practice. So what would love do now is more than just bringing flowers. It is more than just thinking kind thoughts. It is a practice that goes deep, and that at each moment, based on the situation, a new response will reveal. And it is our opportunity to decide how much of that response we're willing to take on, we're willing to express, we're willing to give. And so the part where it's said that it has taken a lifetime, it may take many lifetimes to understand that the highest choice is that which produces the highest good for each of us individually. And to then know that the highest good for each of us becomes the highest good for the other, it may take a lifetime to understand this, and even more so a lifetime to implement. See, all this stuff is real easy to kind of take in intellectually. And if we just leave it there, then we might as well forget about it. We might as well just go back to caves and beating each other over the head with sticks. Because if we do not practice this, if we not put it into practice, if we do not embody it into our being, into every aspect of our expression, it is ultimately worth nothing. It is worthless. And so that's where oftentimes religion misses the mark. If not all the time, religion misses the mark, because it's simply an intellectual endeavor. It is simply following the rules, regardless of the moment. It creates a black and white world without fully understanding the world. So it is applying these very limiting rules when there is an incomplete understanding of God, of life, of everything, of love, of sexuality, of sex, everything. So we must be willing to evolve, just as our understanding of God, of love, of life evolves. Each moment brings a new opportunity. Each moment brings a new answer. And it may not be new in terms of what is being said, but from the depths from which it arises is new. There's always a deeper place where we can express from. For we are one with the infinite. We are one with life that is greater than our understanding. So that is the opportunity that what would love do now brings. It is the opportunity to unfold. It is the opportunity to renew. And to respond to life in a way where perhaps we've never responded before. And yet, and so we give ourselves greater freedom, a fuller realization, a deeper truth. That is ultimately what this is all about. And that's what's amazing about a simple question. What would love do now? Just like the question, who am I? When we ask that from the place of knowing, rather than from a question like, I don't know, we ask really from willingness to know, who am I? Then we're opening ourselves up to it being revealed. Ideas come to us all the time, but where do they come from? It wasn't like we went out and bought them. They somehow reveal. So in the back of all of this, there is a treasure of information, of ideas, of opportunities that are ours to make our own and to allow to express through us and as us. Again, that is the opportunity when we are willing to ask. When we're willing to live in that renewing place of not knowing, rather than that resistant place of not knowing. What would love do now? Who am I? What is this? What is this moment? What is next for me? And when we ask them without a question mark, but more within ellipsis, if you will. That's a dot, dot, dot at the end. then we are simpler, are diving off. And when we hit the water, the renewal reveals. So it is a means of moving beyond what we've been taught, how we've been conditioned. And it is a means of being willing to be perhaps wrong about what we're fighting to be right about. And so you can see, what does right or wrong have to do with any of this when we move beyond the limited understanding of the self? I didn't even look at the title of that song when I chose to play it. That is You Are Love by Stefan Bompunak. Before that, we heard, great, and I don't speak French. Before that, we heard Pete Nemluk with La Nuit de Toi No Rêve à Bourgeois. Whatever. I'm sorry, I tried my best. I didn't try my best, I did my best in my limited understanding of the French language. Let's recap before we close it all out with the meditation. First, before I forget, if you go to our website, killradio.org, there is a link on the front page. It's very easy to miss. It says donate to KR. It's in the left-hand column. You'll see the Friday list today. Then you'll see a list of shows and links by day. And then you'll see a link that says donate to KR, meaning donate to Kill Radio. We are a non-profit, non-commercial internet radio station. What this link will do will bring you to our PayPal page so you can make a donation using PayPal. And what's great about it is you can donate $1. You can donate $5. You can donate $10. You can donate any amount you want. Nothing is too small nor too large. If you'd like to find out what we're really about, if you've only listened to this show, you never really thought about what Kill Radio is really about, look at our mission statement. I'll just read it to you real quick. We are a collective organization committed to using media production and distribution as a tool for promoting social and economic justice. We intend to promote the proliferation of radio in whatever form is necessary in order to challenge the corporate domination of our airwaves. It is our goal to further the self-determination of people underrepresented in media production and content, and to illuminate and analyze local and global issues that impact ecosystems, communities, and individuals. We seek to generate alternatives to the biases inherent in the corporate media controlled by profit, and to identify and create positive models for a sustainable and equitable society. So that is what we're about. We're really about opening the quote-unquote airwaves in whatever form of radio is necessary in order to bring an independent voice where the corporate radio world will not give credit. They are so moved by needing to profit that perhaps that's why you wouldn't see a show like this or any number of our shows where there is freedom and independence alternative, so to speak, points of view. That is why perhaps you don't see this kind of programming. Well, this is what we're about. We make this station run on very little, and we make it run on basically our monthly dues that each of us pay. We are not employees. We are volunteers. So if you'd like to assist in this process, that would be great. That would be wonderful. So I invite you to do that, to support us in whatever way is right for you. Again, with PayPal, it's so easy. It's not going to cost you anything, and it's an opportunity for us to continue this mission. So I thank you for letting me have the chance to do that or to share that with you. But to recap the show, we really began by asking as an opportunity rather than as a question, what would love do now? And in those that we express love for, that we get to include ourself and to put ourself first. And it really kind of also brought up about the proper interpretation of what that means. That when we put ourselves first, then it is for the highest good. It is for the highest good. The highest good of all of us. So that is, what else? Oh, and then the other thing real quick is, what are the unique and special attributes of ourself, that we really get to look at that, to embrace that and to accept it, to own it. And chances are all of us can use that. All of us can use that practice. That practice of embracing the self, acknowledging and owning those unique aspects and attributes and parts of ourself that make us special. Not more than anyone else, but make us equally unique and great. So on that note, I think it's a perfect time to simply begin. To really bring this to the deep part of the mind and heart, that place of consciousness. And we do that when we go into meditation. So I invite you to join in the meditation in whatever way that you are able. If you are able to stop, sit back and close your eyes, that's great. If you are able to join in another way, to just be with these words, beyond words, to really allow the truth in back of these words to come through. Whatever way that you are able to, I invite you to be with the meditation as we begin. So let us embrace this moment and let us be willing to allow this moment to embrace us. And so breathe in full and deep and comfortable, and then breathe out. Give yourself back. We begin with each breath as if each inhale and exhale is a delicacy. So we breathe in, we breathe out, we allow the fullness of life to come forth, to be embodied. And we allow this fuller embodiment to be expressed and given as we exhale. So let us begin by knowing that the perfection of life, the divinity of life, is already within us. This divine expression of life that we call God is already within us and all around us. As we awaken to this deep truth, we allow a fuller expression of life, a deeper understanding to be embodied and understood. So know these words for yourself as I speak for all of us. perfect God within me, perfect divine expression of life, come forth through me as that which I am. Lead me ever on the path of perfection and allow me to see only the good. I am filled with the peace, the strength, the power, and the decision of spirit. The divine consciousness of life is complete within me now, as I am complete, perfect, and already enlightened beyond my own understanding. So this all-powerful divine mind dissolves and dissipates any belief in anger, in discouragement, in indecision. For I am filled with peace. I am empowered and empowering. So I'm willing in each and every moment to ask, to practice, and then to embody what would love do now. In each situation, whether it be a challenge, an opportunity, a conflict, a friend, I am willing to practice what love would do now, to move beyond resistance or hesitation, to move beyond destructive acts or beliefs. I am willing to be constructive, to be empowering, and in so doing, I renew myself. I empower myself as I renew and empower the moment. So I see that I am simply being that which I am. I am simply being that which I have always been. I am simply allowing my higher self to reveal, to unfold. And I'm simply practicing, perceiving as the divine perceives, believing as the divine believes. I'm opening my eyes to see a more complete picture of life. This is who I am. This is who I have always been. So I'm simply embracing the moment and seeing that I am more than it. That it is not more than me. I am the cause and the co-creator. And I take reign of this moment and approach it from the place of empowerment, so that I may give beyond what I have given before, and I may look to it as being brand new. So I am simply awakening to that which I am each and every moment, and as I surrender to this, I am guided, I am directed, I am empowered, and I am empowering. So as I be this expression of what love would do now, I'm simply rising up above the challenges and limitations, that I may believe in or that the world believes in. So I am this love. I am this expression that is no longer moved by appearances, whether they be big or small, whether they be positive or negative. I am guided. I am directed. I am empowered. I am empowering. I am love, loving, lovable. So I embody all of this so that I may express all of this, that I may practice all of this. So I train my mind and heart to ask in the face of whatever, what would love do now? So as I breathe in, I ask from the place of knowing, what would love do now? What would love do now? So I begin by intellectually instilling this idea, implanting it, so that I react in that way, so that I remember in that way. And almost as if serving up a pitch, the heart goes to bat and expresses what love would do now, guides me, directs me. Each moment is a new moment. Each moment a new opportunity to express what love would do now. Each moment an opportunity to renew myself, my understanding of myself, my expression, and my place in this world. So I am this joy. I am this life. I am this light, I am this love, already. So for all of this, I am grateful for the opportunity to practice renewal in a new way, to practice it in the most important way, from my very essence. From my very place of being. So for all of this, we are grateful for the opportunity to commune together, to practice renewal, and to go forth now, empowered, empowering, loved, and loving. Thank you, Mother, Father, God. We are so very thankful to come to know ourselves a little bit more as you know each of us, and to renew in this moment as we are renewed in your mind each and every moment. So we are grateful, and we release these expressions of spirit, for they have done their perfect work as they come into form at the perfect time and place. And so it is. Amen. So I invite you to come back into this moment when you are ready to open your eyes, to breathe as you normally would, and to now allow this to be a momentum that carries us forth, so that each and every moment is a new moment to renew, to unfold, to empower. So welcome back. Once again, as a reminder, you have been listening to Close Your Eyes on killradio.org. killradio.org. I've told you a little bit about Kill Radio. If you'd like to find out more about us, please go to our website, killradio.org. You can click on the link that says About Us. You'll find our mission statement, what we're kind of about, how we run things. It's very interesting. It's very empowering. You can also see there's an opportunity to support this station in whatever way is right and comfortable for you through PayPal. So I thank you for even considering the prospect. And coming up in about an hour, I'm going to do a rebroadcast of James Maverick's Sunday show. He does a show from 10 a.m. to 12 noon called 622 Soul Street. I'll do a rebroadcast of that, of last Sunday's show. But first we'll play some music, and you'll hear that next. By the time you hear that today, it'll be probably time for the Kill Radio News Hour with Hassan. I believe he hosts that. And then we have a number of shows throughout the evening. So again, thank you so much for listening to Close Your Eyes today, to listening to Kill Radio in general. And I invite you to check out the other shows that we do. There's a lot of interesting, unique programming that we do here. So let me switch over to that. And I want to thank you again for joining me today. Look forward to being with you next Friday from 12 to 2 Pacific time. And I invite you also to listen in to Monday's show, 12 to 2 Pacific time, here, that I do with John. Great old submission show. We're in the middle of a Scottish invasion right now. A number of Scottish bands, I don't know how it happened, but quite a few Scottish bands have donated a great many songs and music. So it's kind of funny. And a wide range. There's not like the Edinburgh sound or the Glasgow sound. There's just the one sound. I'm sorry, there's a unique number of sounds. It's very great. So let me get that ready. Thank you so much. killradio.org.